So we're looking at the believer's authority. Amen? Then we'll just round off our study on the believer's authority. We've been looking at being strong in the Lord. So we'll round off, or we'll take a pause this morning. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of your word and of your spirit this morning. We thank you for the privilege of the blessedness of the knowledge of your word in our minds. Lord, this morning we ask together as a church and we receive revelation, clarity, precision, and accuracy in our understanding. We ask that our thoughts will align with your thoughts. We ask that the knowledge of your word will dominate every thought and every mindset this morning. And your name will be glorified as your knowledge is increased, the realities of the resurrection, even the privilege and our right in Christ will be made known to every mind and made clear. We will walk in it. We will see your work done. We will see your glorious name manifested in our walk and our experience. And your name will be glorified much more in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. All right. Ephesians and chapter 6. In verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Now, this is study now that in many other instances, the way Paul, the apostle, puts this, when it says be strong in the Lord, should have been translated, keep being strong in the Lord. I think I told you something like that a while ago, right? Right? Keep being strong. Then look at verse 11. What do you have there? What do you have there? Keep putting on. That's exactly what you have there again. Are we together? Keep putting on. Look at verse 13. What do we have? Now, look at verse 12. What do we have there? You raise your voice a little bit more. Verse 12. What do we have? So, we have a continual wrestling. Warfare starts with man. Is that true? Is that true? Look at verse 13. What do we have there? So, it says, wherefore, keep taking unto you. Does that make more sense to you now? Does that make more sense to you now? Look at the next verse. What do we have there? Keep standing, therefore, having your loins. Does that make sense now? So, is a present continuous tense. What I do continually. Let's back up a little bit. We said God spoke to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and then in verse 8. We've read the book of Joshua too, right? Right? Okay. We did that last 2 weeks, right? Right? Which book are we now? Second Chronicles.
All right. So we started from Genesis, right? Non-stop. Then we're in Second Chronicles, right? Okay. So we'll go into end of Job today. Did I say today or this week? Today. Hallelujah. So we can kick off with Psalms tomorrow and be done. Hallelujah. With Psalms at the end of the week. Are we together? Second Chronicles, right? Right? So we read through to Job tonight. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You're looking like someone just stoned you. It's Sunday. Hallelujah. So in Joshua 1, hallelujah. Amen. You confuse me now. I'm looking for my Joshua. I don't know where my Joshua is. Oh God. All right, I found Joshua. Just needed to settle my thoughts. Joshua 1. You must learn to do daring things. You must learn to dare things. Hallelujah. I've read the whole New Testament before, New Testament books, Matthew to Revelation, in 4 or 5 days. I read through everything. I didn't say in a week, 4 or 5 days. Just picked on Matthew, and I read every, including the genealogy in Matthew. You know, I see the son of Jesus. the son of. It does son of. Hallelujah. Until he became a son of. And he gave birth to Abihu. Abihu, the son of. Which was. We begat and begat and begat. And begotten of God. You have to read everything. Very soon, I'm going to take you through the importance of those genealogies. I mentioned that in our IATP. It's very important. All the and begat, and begat, and begat. It's Bible study. If it weren't important, the writers of the Bible will not put it there. I think some time ago I was showing you how geography is involved in theology, right? Another vital aspect of theology is genealogy. Are we together? It's an aspect of anthropology. Sanctified one. So look at that. In Joshua 1, it says in verse 5, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them." So there is a doctrine of the promise of an inheritance in the scriptures. In narrative that you and I cannot, hallelujah, cannot ignore. I think when we started our study, we took time to look at some things around Bible interpretation, right? Remember? Do you remember? Do you remember or you forgot? Go back to the first page of your note and see what we did. Hallelujah. Did you remember now? Do you remember now? Do you remember? If you are not here, you're on your own. Hallelujah. Or you don't have it. That's the benefit of being serious with Bible study. Do you remember? So I showed you different words, right? Like refers, right? What other word? Technon. Oh, Which other word? Which other word? Nepios. Which other word? Which other word? Edion. There we saw sperma, right? Can you give me those words again? What's the word again? Uihos, Breforth, Teclon, Sperma, Lepios, Pideon. Is there any other word? Eutesia. Eutesia is another class. Or Eutesia is an adjective, something like that. Hallelujah. What other words do you see? We looked at riches, right? We looked at money, wealth, blessed, prosperity. Which other word? Refreshing your mind now. Is this called revision? Is that what you call it? Revision, yes. We like to do revision too. Hallelujah. Okay? What's that word? Except you think one up, but I've exhausted what I gave you. I know everything I gave you. Plutus? What's Plutus? I know. Someone said Plutus. There was Plutus. I already mentioned Plutus. Hallelujah. So I gave you those words, right? Okay. And one of the things we see is that, and let me mention this. You see, the Bible must be studied in sincerity. Hallelujah. Must be studied in what? Sincerity. Amen. Because, let me tell you the truth. It's almost possible to use the Bible to seek to justify or to want to use the Bible to justify virtually anything that people teach. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, in the true sense of it, I hope you listen carefully. Hallelujah. In the true sense of it, the Bible is not complete without the interpretation that Jesus and the apostles give to it. The New Testament books. Are we together? For example, I was talking to someone, and then, you know, that was in the office. So we got talking about, I think some of you were around me. Then we're talking about these Sharia practice. The practice of this Sharia whatever in the country. So it was a discussion on politics. So we were talking, and then, as I mentioned, in around the rule of law, majorly. So we're talking about the rule of law, how that talks, and then the court to get better. Then we got to talking about some mismanagement of resources and all of that, and how that the government even laid hold on personalities and people involved in all that. Yet, not much. It's hard about how much people have been brought a book. We were talking. It was just a conversation, I think, lasted for more than 30 minutes or so. So we're talking. So we got into the Sharia, whatever. That led us into I'm being selective in the words I'm using, okay? Because it's church. So that got us into... So I had to explain some things around the history of the Sharia. And then we went into some things about the Islamic faith, then Islamic republics. Then we went into talking about some nations where that was even chiefly practiced. Because we were talking about we have democracy here and all of this, and then some of the atrocity committed here, if it had been committed where, you know, you have Islamic empires and things like that. So we have to talk about a lot of things. So we now took, so I mentioned around the, oh my God, I'm really struggling because I don't want to give us some details. I just want to mention something. Hallelujah. But I'm one being on something. So, well, we went into talking about, because it was a rich discussion. So, went into talking about the origin of jihad. I mean, I read white, so I know those things. I just read. And the jihadists. And then from there, we mentioned around mass killing of people, mass destruction of lives in the name of a religious conquest. Now, I'm not attaching that to any faith. Are we together? I'm just talking generally. And there's nothing I'm saying that you can hold against me. Are we together? It's all there in the media. Just research. Are we together? On Google everywhere. So, we mentioned around that. I won't tell you what we said. But we mentioned around that. And then, I now took the conversation into, because I was also talking to a Christian, so I took the conversation into the Old Testament. And I showed one major, and that's why I went into that. So, I told the fellow, who is a lady now, so I told her, I said, the basis of his practice today is traced to the scriptures. Are we together? Are we together? But you will observe, because she's a Christian, so I have to show her that. But observe that even though there was so and so practice, are we together? In the scriptures, I mean, this whole practice and all is traced to Bible era. I mean, the scriptures referenced or recorded in the history of the Old Testament. And you even see Israel, are we together? Because Israel wasn't the one who began, initiated such a quest. Are we together? To take over a territory, and then you go there, and then you wipe people off who does not willingly submit to you. No, it was an age-long practice. Are we together? So I said, but yeah, you find Israel, the people who ought to know God. Are we together? And in fact, and I showed them that, interestingly, God was found in them, the midst of Israel, in all of that conquest. Hallelujah. Are we together? But I now show that, do you observe that that doesn't justify what is being practiced today? Praise the Lord. A student of the Bible today, when I say student of the Bible, you're a student of the Bible because you really study the Bible. A student of the Bible today will observe that hallelujah. But in your study of the Bible, of the entire scriptures, within the same scriptures, you will discover, well, this does not lead to this today. What am I saying? It's possible to want to use the scriptures to justify what do you call massive killing of people? Is that genocide? Yeah. Because you saw maybe some people, maybe God's people, and then they went to a place and then everybody. Then they dominate. Are we together? Are we together? I remember I told someone else, I said, look at this. And this was a conversation with one of my friends. So I said, look at this. The same methods that are used by some people, preachers, to read the Bible, the same methods that when some preachers read the Bible, they use that method and then they say this and this must be practiced. For example, you have tithing. Hallelujah. You saw some news on tithing there some weeks ago. I was just laughing. Hallelujah. You don't have time for that. Amen. Yeah, these we have talked. It's 8-10 years ago. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So, I told one of my friends, I said, the same way people read the Bible and the way they view the scriptures that made them to believe or to affirm that this and this should be practiced, the same method should be applicable to reading the Bible and us affirming the practice of other things that they stand against. If you say because something was instructed of God, or some people feel something was instructed of God and then they went and practiced it, so it should be practiced today, we should also be killing each other. Are we together? We should also be killing each other. Because that was also practiced. Did you get what I'm saying? That written there doesn't imply it should be practiced. You need to study through the Bible. In other words, look at this. When you see something taught in the scriptures or mentioned in the scriptures,
You should be careful to read through to see what should be practiced today in view of that. Are we together? Or what should be practiced today? What should be learned today from that narrative? The fact that you see narratives where there was a mass destruction of lives doesn't mean we should do the same today, does it? So look at it. That style of reading the Bible is wrong. Any method of studying, reading, and interpreting the scriptures, are we together? That is not applicable to every subject or every narrative in the scriptures cannot be proper Bible interpretation. Are we together? Are we together? Any method of reading, studying, teaching, or interpreting the scriptures that cannot be applied, picked and applied, demonstrated in every narrative of Bible texts cannot be a proper way of interpreting the scriptures. Did you guys, church? Did you get it? So, if studying the Bible has helped us to see that, oh, today we don't offer animal sacrifices, the way you studied and discovered it, the doctrine of tithing should also get to the same study. Is it clear? Not some things that you like. Just don't explain it to us. We like it. Don't explain it to us. Just extract. And the one that you feel that, hey, this one is hard though. You say, no, I don't think that. I think we need to study that thing. What about the other one that you loved? Everything should probably study. Are we together? Because people can seek to justify. Look at it. People can seek to justify polygamy from the scriptures. Is that not what people do today? Any small thing about husband say, what about Abraham? Idiots. You don't need a Bible text to give you license to do stupid stuff. Are we together? Are we together? People can seek to use the Bible to justify incest, idol worship. Look at me. People can seek to use the Bible to justify fraud. After all, Abraham lied, and God didn't say anything about it. He lied to a king. Something like, you lie to somebody who's wealthy, and then you collect. What do you call it today? That's called Yahoo Yahoo. Did you get it? So, it's not enough to see it mentioned somewhere. You have to study. And in studying, I have seen that there's a lot of the scriptures. And that's Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of the scriptures. So, his interpretation of the Old Testament narratives becomes all to us. If you are a disciple of Jesus, one of the signs of a disciple is an adherence. You adhere to somebody's teachings. You hold on to someone's teachings. That's the proof that you are a disciple of that.
You cannot be a disciple of a pastor. You are reading every book in the body of Christ. You must be a foolish one. You cannot be a disciple of a teacher and you are listening to different teachers. You must be a confused one. Multiplicity of masters breeds confusion. As some people are teaching God's word, the reason why they won't get it, the reason why they are not understanding anything being taught in church, is that everybody in the body of Christ is their teacher. So at the end of the day, nobody is their teacher. Did you observe that? Did you observe that? He who goes everywhere, at the end of the day, goes where? Nowhere. That's simple. Even bus garages, they have destinations they plan. If you get to a garage, say, where are you going? Say, I'm going anywhere. There's no anywhere. Multiplicity of teachers already compromises the reason for discipleship. Are we together, church? So, look at it. It's not enough. So, I must learn to listen to Jesus. Are we together? For example, you know, we spoke about wealth, right? So, I must learn to listen to Jesus on wealth. We did a study a while ago on material wealth. I listened to Jesus on wealth. What has Jesus said about marriage? Don't say, I have read the entire Bible. And what I discovered on marriage is this. He says, so as I read, I discovered that Paul was wrong. I say, oh, boom. I was listening. I said, thank God he said this before the remaining 20-something minutes of the clip. I don't know if the clip was 25 minutes. And he said that in the first 1 minute, the remaining 24 minutes is trash. You have the, who are you? Excuse me, who are you, sir? Amen. If Paul can be wrong on marriage, then he can be wrong on salvation. Then we are all doomed. They are men and they are men. Are we clear? They are men and they are what? Men. Are we together? Are we together? Conduct and all should assist revelation. For example, you see Moses himself. Moses did not always get things right, but the counsel of God from him is sure forever. The same with Paul. He did not always get everything right. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? But the counsel of God from him is what? Perfect. You see, while he stood before Agrippa, Pilate, by the time the chief priest spoke, he spoke at him. Then someone said, that's the chief priest. Oh. Then he just readjusted. He shows you that man's attitude to the counsel of God. So I want to get the counsel of God right. Are we together, church? You see Peter severally also. But by the time you observe the counsel of God from him, so, when Jesus teaches on wealth, his teaching will be the Lord over every other what? Is it clear? Is it clear? What he teaches on marriage will be the Lord over what? Every other teaching. Or better put, you will use his teaching to scrutinize every other teaching on that subject. Simple. Blessed. When we're teaching on blessing. You're going to listen to Jesus. You're going to listen to Jesus on what? Bless and what? A sin. You listen to Jesus. So whatever Jesus says about blessed and blessing becomes Lord over every other teaching or perception of what? One who is blessed of God. Did you get me, church? For example, if Jesus says you are blessed when you suffer because of me, that means for a disciple of Christ, that immediately changes your perception of what? Blessing. Is it clear? He says you are blessed when you are stressed for my sake. You are denied some things, or you deny yourself some things, temporarily or extensively, because of the gospel. Says you are blessed. He calls a man who is born again blessed. Did you see that? Did you see that? So his teaching on the blessed affects my perception of what blessing is. So maybe I've read through the Old Testament and I said, oh, Solomon was blessed. He had 1,000 women. Maybe that's the perception that he took from the Old Testament. Then it is warped. Hallelujah. Maybe say, oh, this person is blessed because, look at this, he's blessed because people have given to him. He now has much. You come into the New Testament books and you read from Paul in Acts 20. Hallelujah. And Paul said that the summary of all that Jesus taught on material wealth is that the one who gives, hallelujah, is more blessed than the one who collects. So you see how that blessing deals with God's account of a man. The one who parts away with his resources for another for the sake of the gospel, God accounts of him more highly. God respects such a person. God honors such a person. Are we together? So he says that God loves cheerful giving. Cheerful giver. God loves cheerful giving. That means God respects generosity in his name. Why? Because when we are generous because of him, we are redemonstrating his character. Did you get it? So God respects the one who acts like him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God respects the man that knows him and acts what? Like him. Hallelujah. Did you get the church? So, money, prosperity, wealth, you must look and study the explanations, the interpretation, better put, of Jesus and his apostles. Marriage. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are we together, church? You must put in view, you must place as Lord over every other interpretation
the interpretation of Jesus and his apostles.
I didn't say interpretation of Jesus and apostles. I said interpretation of Jesus and what? I'm talking about definite apostles. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I'm not talking about anybody that calls his name apostle today. You can just be an apostle of your stomach. Apostle is not spiritual, it simply means sent one. Are we together? They say, I'm an apostle. We are going to know which apostle you are when we hear you preach. Sorosong. Sorosoke. Yeah, Sorosoke. Masolo. So, in the way you handle the scriptures, in the way you handle the information contained in the books of the Bible, we are going to know whose apostle you are. Apostle of men, Paul said, not of what? Man. Apostle of your belly, Paul says to withdraw, or apostle of Jesus Christ. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So, look at this. Jesus, therefore, is also going to give to us an interpretation of the warfare of the Old Testament. So, he goes to the Old Testament and he shows us that today and now, there is no need, hallelujah, for men, are we together, to use swords and staffs and bow and arrow to fight wars on behalf of God. Note the last statement, on God's behalf. Did you get it? I'm not saying nations don't need military. So, mark what I said. Hallelujah. I didn't say you can't join military too. I've been looking at Pastor's explanation for the past couple of years. What's Pastor's position about military? You'll be shocked, they are the greatest of people I love. As I was ministers of the gospel, I love patriotism a lot. I admire it. So when I see someone put his neck on the line, his life in harm's way for a nation, for a cause of a nation, I respect it. Pastor, is he saying that using of gun is good? Well, God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look at that. So Jesus goes to the Old Testament and he shows us warfare. So his interpretation of warfare is what you and I, as disciples of Christ, we stick to. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, you know Bible gun, one ja the Bible to 1 4 hour lenu. That doesn't mean you should also what? 4 line len. Hallelujah. You know that he's like, even God. He says he is a mighty man of war. You will learn to find out when that God came in the flesh. See, the God that is a mighty man of war, when he came in the flesh, he now said, let me show you something. Look at John 18. Look at what he said. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Okay. Look at John 18. Hmm.
Praise the Lord. Are you there? Look at verse 35. He says, Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Idiot. Pilate
and Herod were not pals. You know, they are contrary folks. When you now see two enemies agree because of an innocent man, you know Satan is at work. Always watch out for that. You see two people, they don't talk. Suddenly they start to talk. Ah! Satan is at work. And it's not the gospel that brought them together. Satan is at work.
But look at verse 35, verse 36. Can we all read together? One to go. 36, one to go. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then will my servants fight, that I should not be what? Delivered to the world, to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from world, from hence. Did you see that? He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If not, he says, my servant would have fought.
So you observe, you see, in Luke, I think that was Luke 21. Hallelujah. When one pastor has word, instead of Bible, he has word. Pastor in there, you know, enjoy. Oh, but good, just the moves on. Hallelujah. God have mercy. Amen. Count. God have mercy. Hallelujah. I know that was a very funny narrative. Sorry I said that. Amen. Amen. That's just the way I think. You need to be with me in the house when I'm reading the Bible. So that I just laugh. That's the way me I understand the Bible. Just imagine. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, look for him that no joy. Are we together? So you see that pastor? Yes, what? Just remove it, cut the air. What did Jesus do? So what did Jesus do? Look at it. Jesus healed. Are we together? Marcus. I don't know what ES2 was doing in the way. But it must be. I like God. Maybe they have beef before. Who knows? Maybe Peter has preached to him on evangelism. Is it? Inga. Maybe Peter has spent 3 hours with him on a Saturday morning. He threw Peter here and there. What about this one? Peter explained it. What about this one? Peter explained it. What about that one? Peter explained it. He said, well, this one called, he explained it. So Peter asked him, say, do you now believe everything I said? So Marcus said, I don't believe. And Jesus has told them not to fight and not to argue. So, you know what, Ishani? Great. The seed has been sown. So maybe he now saw Marcus that day. He said, eh? I thought the seed has been sown in war. They told you what, Mama. It's you, I'll be this way. He just lies here, sham. Hallelujah. And that's very funny. Amen. But look at that. Jesus healed ears and rebuked Peter. He shows that his warfare is not with weapons. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we have to listen to Jesus. You know, I didn't say all that happened. You know, I didn't say all that happened. I said maybe. Because left to me. That should be the only narrative. It could have been because Marcus stole his wife. Or stole, kidnapped his children. Are we together? By the way, you observe that Peter's wife was never mentioned. His wife was never mentioned. His children were never mentioned. So he didn't have a child. Are we together? Paul too. He didn't even know Paul had a mother. Until you now read. Are we together? From the book of Acts. Did you see that? Peter's wife. What's her name? Petrina. Hallelujah. As you mentioned, it shows you those would have been people whose family were in submission, just serving the Lord in secrecy. That's it. Are we together? So look at that. So he says to Joshua in 1:8 to be what? Courageous. 1:6. So in the warfare, courage. Someone say courage. It means, I said last week, to not grumble, murmur, complain. You will observe that Paul never complained. Jesus never complained. Peter never complained. We will not see any of the Christian leaders in the churches complain. Only some unserious members of the churches. They didn't complain. When Moses sent the spies to Canaan and they got back, the 10 of them that complained were separated. Complainers are not needed in the warfare. If you are a type that complains, you are not serious. Courage. Being strong, I said last week, implies, he says, it means to let your faith be passive. I run through it again. Being strong means your faith in action. Is that brother sleeping? Okay, well, that can't be happening inside you. Hallelujah. Being strong means to what? To put your faith to work. Hallelujah. Being courageous means to be active, not dormant. I told you last week that there is never such a time to go inactive. Never. Inactivity is not the same, hallelujah, as not making noise.
making noise does not mean you are inactive.
I'll take it again.
Not making a show, a public show, not making a noise, hallelujah, does not mean that you are what? Not active. Is it clear? So there is never a time to be what? Inactive. Never. To be courageous means to refuse to negotiate defeat, they said. It means to not reduce your tempo because of oppositions. It means to keep moving, keep trusting, keep running, keep walking, keep walking, keep what? Believing. Keep believing. It means to attempt big things for the Lord. A drastic commitment to His work. A never die attitude. A never turning back attitude. A lifelong mission oriented attitude. Be courageous. It means to allow the spirit of faith consistent manifestation and expression. It means to yield more to the spirit of faith and his works. Hallelujah. In times of challenges, in face of opposition, contrary opinions, personal affections and desires that needs to be tamed or controlled. In the face of ideologies, strange ideologies in our world, he says, be courageous. Hallelujah. So in Ephesians 6:10, let's look at something as we journey on this morning. Ephesians 6. So it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It says, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Hallelujah. The armor of God. So the armor is both offensive and defensive. An armor is that which safeguards you, at the same time makes motion and pressing forward possible. As we charge ahead in the course of God's warfare, as we charge ahead in the course of God's battle, hallelujah, God's warfare, it says the armor of God is that supply by the Spirit of God, wherewith the believer is able to advance on the mission ground. Are we together? Advance in the battle of God, yet, hallelujah, he is safeguarded. At the same time, he is safeguarded. He says to stand. I said last week that the armor is meant for you to stand. The armor of God becomes that supply.
So when he says amor, we must also look at the interpretation. Hallelujah. It will not be a literal amor. It will not be a fleshly amor either. Are we together? We saw 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to verse 6. The flesh, the works of the flesh, is not the amor. And also from the Old Testament, the physical weapons of warfare are not also the armor. So he starts out in Ephesians 6, verse 12. He says in 13, he says in 14, having your loins girt about. I explained that to you last week. That the word loins there from the word osphus, O-S-P-H-S, osphus, which has to do with your loins, but it's not referring to the physical loins. Hallelujah. In this context, it speaks of your mind. I said that. It speaks of the readiness on the mind. How? Looking at the way Jesus used it, he says, your loins guard about. The word guard about there from the word perizonomi. Onomi, P-E-R-I, peri, loins. Hallelujah. He says, guard about. Then you have Z-O-N-N-U-M-I. P-E-R-I, Z-O-N-N-U-M-I. Perizonomi. From the word peri and the word zonomi, which has to do with the girdle. From the word zoner, which has to do with belt or waist pocket, something like guard your waist. In Luke 12:35, I gave us that last Sunday, and 37, Jesus used it for your desires to be alert. In Acts 12 verse 8 is used for a readiness. So your loins guard about with truth. The word truth has been seen earlier on. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 1:13, Paul says the gospel of truth. The gospel of truth. The word of truth rather. Ephesians 1:13. The word of truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 14, in 13, he spoke about the knowledge of the Son of God. He says, which guard against deception, in verse 14. Then in verse 15, he calls that knowledge of the Son of God, speaking of the truth. He calls that knowledge of the Son of God, the truth. So he says, you will preach the truth. Speaking the truth in love. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Speaking the truth in love. In chapter 4 verse 21, it says, if so be that you have had him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So he comes in chapter 6. He says, your loins guard about with. Your loins guard about with the truth. In Ephesians 4, hallelujah, in verse 24, he says, you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Again, he uses the word put on the truth. The new man. So he uses the armor to explain the Christian conduct. He uses the armor to explain the believer's conduct. Then it says the breastplate of righteousness.
the breastplate of righteousness. He says again, Ephesians 4:24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. So you see righteousness and truth in Ephesians 4:24, again as an armor that you are told to put on. You are told to put on. He uses an armor in this text to explain the Christian conduct. The breastplate of righteousness will therefore imply who you are in Christ. To guard my loins with the truth would imply to keep the word of God on your mind always. Alertness. So I put it this way in my notes. As a God's word on my mind is safety. The believer's wisdom of safety is in the word of God always on his mind. First resort. First thought. First source. Hallelujah. The word of God where? On my mind. God's word on my mind is the armor. The wisdom of God is his word. The wisdom of God for battle readiness is his word always on my mind. His counsel, his will, his instruction. The gospel. I said last week that not a specific subject, but the entirety of God's word. Did you get it? So a believer that has a casual attitude to the word of God is already one, hallelujah, who will be a victim of any advances. You are casual with the word. Not you. Hallelujah. Paul says to Timothy that the word of God that has come to him in 1 Timothy 1:18, the word of God that came to him via inspired utterances, he says, must fill his mind. He says he will be able to wage a good warfare. My mind always filled with the word of God on every issue. The whole counsel of God's word always on my mind. Always on my mind. Where the word of God becomes my first resort. Why are you doing this? Because God's word says so. Why do you think this way? Because your mind has been filled with the word. Why are you about this method? Because God's word fills your mind. God's word has become my perception, my ideology, my thinking process, my thinking pattern. Hallelujah. I always seek to apply God's word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I'm always listening. I'm always reading. I'm always thinking. I have a consistent attitude to learning the word of God. He says, that is an armor. That is when you are using it as an armor. A soldier will be stupid to use the sword. Are we together? Are we together? To do other things than to defend himself. You are giving a boot a boot. And then you pick the boot and you put it on the shelf in your house. So you go to war with a, what's this one that we wear today? Is it cross or what do you call it? So you go to war with it. Hallelujah. You know you are going to be a comedian. You take the sword given you by the government, the silver sword given you, you take it, you kept it somewhere, say you don't want it to be scratched. You went to buy cutlass. Say this one, I've observed that if I do it like this, it quickly goes. So this is where I'm appearing. You'll be the first to go. Hallelujah. So God's word is not for decoration. It's a Do you get it? Foolish believers despise Bible studies. God's word, see, is more than I now know scripture. It's an so the one who is properly taught is properly armed. Are you with me, church? Are we together, church? The one who is properly taught, properly groomed, the one that receives the training of the teaching and the learning of the word properly, is properly armed. Your loins guarded. Armed, hallelujah, against desires that lead us away from the will of God. Armed in the face of ideologies and strange teachings, philosophies of the world. Armed in the face of persecutions and afflictions for the Lord's sake. Properly armed, hallelujah, in the face of false teachings, a wrong handling of the books of the Bible. He is armed. So, one of the ways to be watchful and ready and to be fit is to be watchful with the truth. Paul speaks about a position where I guard myself, a position where I am not careless. Say, I am not careless. So we said last week that the believer has the power of God. And part of that power, hallelujah, is the word of God in your mind. The believer has the power of God to keep, we said number one, ungodly desires at bay, under control. Or even good desires under control. Are we together? Many times, what makes desires ungodly, are we together, is because they are not under control, even though they are good. A good desire that is not under control becomes what? Ungodly. Because now it seeks to lure you away, distract you from fulfilling the plans of God. Thoughts. The power of God to keep ungodly thoughts of my mind. Desires. The believer has the power of God in that armor. He calls that armor. Don't forget we saw the word iskus, right? Kratos, isn't it? So he calls that armor the inward working. Look at this. Look at me. That means when I receive the word of God. Are you listening to me, church? Anything receive a proper explanation of the scriptures, it goes into my mind to work. When I come to meetings to receive God's word, it goes into my mind, hallelujah, to energize me to strengthen me. There's an edification that goes on, an ongoing building, hallelujah. Today, upon what Christ has built, Christ is yet building, hallelujah, you and I. And the word of God is that instrument, is that instrument. Are we together? God's armor that guides the believer's mind against depression. Other when you see a man being depressed, you have seen a man whose mind is empty. You have seen a believer whose mind is empty of God's word. Depression finds a place in a man whose mind is what? Void of the word of God. Failure, quitting, lost, pressure, worldliness, looseness, hallelujah, lightness. Let the word of God gain control of your soul. The word of God gain control of your mind. Say, God's word gains control of my mind. Hallelujah. Say, God's word gains control of my thoughts. So one of the ways that armor works is by helping you to think in certain ways. Are we together? Remember when I was in the paramilitary? All of these items you put on, we call this mask, everything had their own significances. The cap, the layat, everything. The boot. Are we together? In fact, by the time we're having parades, and we'll call for a parade, we're having a general parade at Loyola College, Ibadan. A general parade. And then you're all expected to be there. Immediately a time is given. You must be around on ground before that time. You don't appear without being tugged in. It shows gross disorderliness. So you wear all the mask and it must be tight. Your waist will now be very tiny. You look at it and say, and that's what we admire. You are very tiny on the waist. Everything. Then you stand. Hallelujah. One of the ways we put people in check, you know, that this one is like you woke up late. You go to one corner and then you go fall like a mango tree. You can do like 10 times. You fall like a mango tree. So you stand like this, then you go straight. So you keep doing that until you can go 10 times straight without bending before getting to the floor. I want to get that's what I'm going to train you. That's what we're switching. Are we together? I'm just showing to show you how important all of those things are.
You go like this. You know why you are doing this, so that you can protect your neck and your chin. You go. So this basically lands on the floor. But the moment you are going and you are halfway and you bend like this, you get up again and go back. So you do 10, or you roll like a tire. Hallelujah. That's when you observe that this one did not pray before I'll teach you. Are we together? I didn't say we're reaching out. I just see that. See, I'm battle ready. So he says, your loins gathered. So the teaching of God's word, is a wisdom being meted to you. Your life is being built. You know, one of the things we call it is the spiritual meal, right? Nutrition. I say, praise the Lord. It's an armor. Nutrition. God's word. Hallelujah. Someone say, what about prayer? After the words. I've taught you that. Prayer without the word is like putting water on the ground where you have not put any seed. Nothing will grow. The seed is God's word. That's what grows. Prayer waters it. Nothing should take you away from where you are receiving the word. Nothing. Not money. Not friends. Why did you stop going to that church?
my friend left. So me too, I left.
You are a fool. Nothing. Nothing. The one who is properly taught is properly armed. Hallelujah. That's it. Because the winds of life is going to come. We're going to see that shortly. The storms of life is going to come. Look at me. Look at what it says. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at what it says in verse 12 and 13. Everybody want to go read verse 12 and 13. Everybody want to go. Verse 13. Everybody want to go. Hallelujah. 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 Look at what it says in 13. Look at what it says. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to survive. Is that what it says?
No. Survive care.
So it's not about surviving when the winds of life comes at you. It's about remaining what? On your feet. Is it clear? I reached out to a friend of a long time. I said, how are you doing? He says, we are surviving. I said, no. Surviving? Don't use that word again. Are we together? Surviving? We're doing very greatly. Hallelujah.
Say, I'm doing very greatly.
Hallelujah.
You know, you must learn to change your vocabulary. That's part of what God's word does to you. It changes your vocabulary.
They say, how are you? You say, I'm up, well, and fit. Hallelujah.
I said, hallelujah. Like a bulldozer. Do you know a bulldozer? Do you know a bulldozer?
Kakaraka.
Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. No crying anywhere. Where? I'm too busy to cry. I'm too mindful. I'm too focused. Are we together? Even in the midst of challenges. No. In the midst of challenges, I'm doing very greatly. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. We're talking about the triumphant church. I'm doing what? I'm doing what? Yeah. We are managing. That's why you keep managing. That's why you keep managing. Are we together? Because look at me. Whenever the devil cannot get at you, are we together? Are we together? Easily. The next thing he does is he tries to change your vocabulary. He tries to affect your words because he knows you will have whatsoever you say. And that will open the door for him. Are we together? An ignorant believer, an ignorant Christian, thinks like, oh, if someone asks him, how are you doing? He says, we have to complain. If we don't complain, no, that's not your language. Say, that's not my language. Hallelujah. Someone asks you how you are. Say, hello, good morning, how are you? Say, I'm strengthened. Hallelujah. Someone asks how you are. Say, I'm doing very greatly. Amen. I remember a while ago, I went on Google just to browse how to respond to how are you. I just went to browse how to respond to how are you. I was browsing for synonyms, words, instead of fine. I felt I'm used to fine. Oh, let me get another word. Hallelujah. I learned a word. I learned peachy. Hallelujah. Say, how are you? Say, I'm peachy. Say, how are you? I'm doing very well. Say, hello, how are you? I'm vibrant. Hallelujah. You change your what? Vocal. Then you change your experience. You experience the power of God. It's not positive speaking. It's not motivation. Yeah, Pastor motivated us today. Then you didn't come to church. I'm teaching you faith-filled living. Not motivating you. What's motivation? Hallelujah. It is that armor is the word of God. So that means the things that are taught you in church are meant to stay on your mind always. They are meant to stay on your mind. Are we together? So I'm not surviving. I'm thriving. How is business? Business is thriving. It doesn't stop you from now saying we're trusting God for. Are you with me? Are you with me? It doesn't stop you. But you have learned it all the way bad. Say, there's not your... There's not your... In fact... In fact, if you don't hear from me in the next 3 days, just as something has gone wrong.
See, a believer. See, what you are saying contradicts who we are. You are called a believer. Should we not see it in your words? A believer. That means complaint by virtue of who you are is far from you. Believer. That means you are always expecting the best. Is it clear, church?
You don't say, I don't like people like you. You are ignoring facts. I don't ignore facts. Like because of my word, I will only share good news about the country. Do you expect me to be wailing with you? Do you expect me to be wailing? No. No. I will share development in the country. The countries you are running to is when you get there that you discover that because they have loved to put forth the beautiful side of their country. I was reading an article yesterday by someone who posted about that. Is that where you see your... Now, this is not against folks traveling out for education and all that. But he said, it's myopic. The reason why you run to those countries and you feel that you now begin to pride on the fact that you are doing well is because you jilted your own country. For example, education was being offered you at a what? A penny. Go check how much folks are paying for education out there. I mean, indigents of other citizens of other countries. They are paying in thousands of dollars. Some of you, for just 5 years or 4 years of education, your school fees are not even probably up to 250,000, 300,000, 500,000. Some a year tuition fee over there is thousands of dollars. And how do they do it? So they seek student loans. So by the time they graduate, they live decades of their life paying the loans that they got during their undergraduates. And then the little one remaining, they live on. So they don't hype their country like we. But you got education at a penny. No back, no. You run there. You rush there. Go check how much they are paying. Huge. Hallelujah. I just read that. I was like, whoa. Huge. Huge amounts there. So we are the one hype. They don't hype their places like we do. Hallelujah. So I feel I have to complain about everything. I have to come. No. You can either have a voice of victory. Hallelujah. Or a voice of what? Of failure. Say, I don't have the voice of failure. I have the voice of victory. Say, I have the voice of victory. That's it. Say, I have the voice of victory. Say, I have the voice of victory. Say, I have the voice of victory. So part of the believer's authority is the word of God in your mind. Obviously, finding its way through your lips. Hallelujah. Say, how are you this morning? Say, I'm doing very excellently well. Hallelujah. Don't complain. Did you hear me, church? Stop complaining. Try a month, 30 days. Just a 30-day challenge. Is that what you call it? 30-day challenge of no complaints. And see how things are going to turn around you. He says that you will stand against the wiles of the enemy. By the time you read what he said next in Ephesians 6, he says, he mentions the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hallelujah. The shield of faith. Glory to God. Am I not finished today? Hallelujah. He says you will be able to quench. So there are things that by virtue of being present in the world are consistently fired at you. But it says you will stand. We stand. It means to triumph. Look at it. We stand doesn't mean to hold your ground. It means amidst oppositions to make an advance. I don't know failure. I don't know setbacks. What happens when they come to me? I quench it. It goes down. I step on them so I can get a greater view. Challenges has their place in Christ. Are we together? Opposition has their place in Christ, and their place is what? Directly under your feet. Are we together? That is why every man who has successfully furthered in the plan of God, made advance and progress in the plan of God, are hard men. You can't be cry cry. You know those people they call cry cry. You see a baby, say this baby is a cry cry baby. Oh. Cry cry. 1 a.m. crying. 2 a.m. crying. 6 a.m. crying. In fact, I know some of us here that I'm sure that was how you were. Cry cry baby. 4 p.m. crying. 7 a.m. Yeah, in kindergarten crying. All the remaining children really crying. Your name should have been so. Cry, cry. Say no complaints here. I have the voice of victory. Say I have the voice of victory. Look at me, church. You and I can so train our voice that when challenges hear it, they bow. Voice of victory. Voice of victory. Voice of victory will bring down the walls of Jericho. The voice of victory will part the sea. The voice of victory will bring quails in the midst of scarcity. The voice of victory will calm the storm. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The voice of victory. See, I have the voice of victory. See, I have the voice of victory. See, I have the voice of victory. So what powers that voice? Hallelujah. Is the word of God. In the mind, not in the book. In the mind, not in the Bible. In the mind, not in the MP3. In the mind, not in the notes that you took. In the mind. So I read the Bible to get it on my mind. I take notes in church so I can get it on my mind. I take hold of the MP3. I watch podcasts. I listen. I read written material so I can get it. I'm in the teaching service so I can get it. Because I know when I get the word of God on my mind, it powers the voice of victory. Are we together? That's the armor of God. Is it clear, church? That is the armor of God. It says your loins are guarded. Hallelujah. Perizonomy. Your loins are secured. Your mind. Are we together, church? So I keep the word of God always. What God has said across different subjects, across my health. Hallelujah. Resources, supplies, materials, my relationships, my loved ones, ministry,
what God has said. Glory to God forevermore. My mind is always filled with the word of God concerning every issue. The word of God. I live a life in the word of God. Hallelujah. I live in the word of God. And that's what God wants you and I to do. To live in the word of God. To live in the word of God. See, I live in the word of God. See, I live in the word of God. That's where you live. Hallelujah. That's where you live. In the word. On Monday, in the word. You are soaked in the word of God. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So look at this. From the place of the word, I attend to ministry engagements. From the place of the word, I attend to natural things. From the place of the word, I handle relationships and friendships. From the place of the word, I attend to businesses and jobs. And I quench challenges. Hallelujah. Are we together? From all of these fronts, to the end that I remain and I stand in the will of God through everything. The proof that you overcame the challenge is that you remained in church. Is it clear? The proof that you overcame the challenge is that you remained in the work of the ministry. The proof that you triumphed over that challenge is that your prayer life remained. Your study life remained and was enhanced. Are we together? Evangelism did not stop. Is it clear, church? Giving and generosity for the gospel was not affected. That is the proof that the believer is walking in triumph. That you remain in the will of God, and you, despite and in spite of challenges, oppositions, contrary notions, contrary views, mockery, are we together? Tantrums thrown at you, hallelujah. You remained in the will of God, and you consistently make progress unaffected. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Your focus is kept. Hallelujah. So we said, and I'll close here, that the spirit in the believer walks through the word of God on your mind. Please sit down, sir. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God in the believer does what? Does what? Okay, except you are standing to keep awake. Hallelujah. Except you are standing to keep awake. That's fine. And that's wise. Are we together? So, the Spirit of God in the believer walks through what? The Word. Does that make sense to you now? Let me show you something there in that text. See, we can go on and on. We just have to put a pause. Are we together? All right. In Ephesians 6 again, look at verse 13. It says, take unto you the armor of God. Now look at verse 17. It says, the helmet of what? Salvation. It says in verse 15, preparation of the gospel of peace. Are we together? Now, I want you to see verse 17b. It says, the helmet of salvation and the sword of what? The Spirit, which is the word of what?
Did you see that? The sword of the Spirit. So that means in verse 13, when he says the armor of God, he refers to the what? The armor of the Spirit. It refers to the way by which the Spirit gets his work done. Are we together, church? The armor of God, of the Spirit. Now, when he says the armor of the Spirit, the question is which Spirit? If you have read from chapter 1, you would have seen verse 3. Well, it says we are blessed with the blessedness of the Spirit. Did you see that? In verse 17, it says the wisdom of the Spirit. Hallelujah. In chapter 1, verse 14, it says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 13. Hallelujah. In chapter 2, verse 18, it says, by one Spirit we have access to the Father. In chapter 3, verse 16, it says, strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit by which you were sealed on the day of redemption. In chapter 5, verse 18, it says, singing, hallelujah, hymns, spiritual songs, hymns and psalms, it says, spiritual songs, which are songs of the Spirit. Songs of the Spirit. So, in Ephesians 6, 17, when it says, the sword of the Spirit, which in chapter 13 would imply that the armor is the armor of the Spirit, it means is the armor of the Spirit within. This is the armor of the Spirit within. Is that the same thing as the schools which we studied? The divine reinforcement. So the ministry of the Spirit in the believer, hallelujah, is active, vibrant, when the believer's mind is filled with the Word. The ministry of the Spirit is vibrant and active, easily received, free in its flow. The ministry of the Spirit is free in its flow in the believer when the believer, when his mind is filled with what? With the Word of God. I therefore keep God's Word on my mind. Hallelujah. That means, we said last week, I'll say again, it means that the opposition to the gospel is not party. It's either in our conduct or in the preaching of the gospel. In desires and affections which we have and we need to keep under. Opposition to the gospel will be found in persecutions and afflictions for the gospel. Oppositions to the gospel will be found in ideologies of the world that seek to replace the knowledge of God. It will also be found in false teachings by the improper handling of the books or text of the books of the Bible. But look at this, there is an ability. Say there is an ability. There is an ability for the believer to take a stand. And this stand implies to make progress. Praise God forevermore. To make progress. Hallelujah. Say, I'm making progress. To make progress in the mission of Christ. I must keep the Word of God in my heart, filled with the Word of God. Can you imagine anything filled of something now? Just imagine anything filled with something. Filled with something. A bowl filled with water. A tank filled with water. How about a river bank filled to the overflow? The oceans full of the waters. Hallelujah. How about a tree filled with fruits? A mango tree filled with fruits. A cashew tree filled with fruits. How about a basket full of vegetables? So your mind must consistently remain what? Filled with the word. As the church helps me, I'll close here before me I close. As the ministers of the word, my pastor, my leaders, at the cell level, we also have cell leaders, helps me. I am to take advantage of the avenues through which the word of God comes to me and be filled with the word. The word is power. The word of God is strength. The word of God is might. But look at this. We have also seen today that the word of God is also an armor. And that was exactly what made the difference in the Old Testament warfare. Israel had the word of God. I said something last week. Two things. Number one, he says, I will be with you. Then he says, as I have sworn to Moses, I will do with you. Joshua 1, verse 1 down to 6. So we have the word of God, and we have the presence of God. The word of God becomes an armor. The word of God should replace desires. The word of God taught to you becomes your thoughts. Your thoughts. Your thoughts. There should never be a feeling, hallelujah, of inferiority, of inability, of fatigue. There should never be a feeling of setback. He says, there is a supply of the Spirit of God in us. And part of that supply is to use the Word of God. The indwelling of the Spirit uses the Word of God to strengthen the believer, to guard the believer, so he can take a stand. Or as he takes a stand for the gospel, as he takes a stand in the name of the Lord Jesus, as he takes a stand in ministry that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a supply, an inward walking of the Father to keep him steady, to keep him productive, to keep him fruitful and faithful, to keep him productive, to make him consistent, to make him thrive. Hallelujah. Say, I thrive in the work of a ministry. Say, I thrive. So you're going to observe that the believer's authority revolves around the ministry. Hallelujah. If that authority is to be demonstrated in any other area, it is because those areas have been split. Or it is in a way that those areas affect the gospel which we preach. The gospel is what we do. Ministry is what we do. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the demonstrations of our authority in Christ Jesus are around the works of ministry. Ezekiel Church. So don't give in to contrary opinions and feelings. That means I will guide my mind. I will guard my mind. I will guide and guard my mind from the things I expose it to on the media, on the internet, in the blogs, in the notes, in the news media, on the social media, the internet media. Hallelujah. I will guard my mind from voices of accusation. I will guard my mind from voices of oppression and depression. I will guard my mind from suggestions of failure or quitting. I will guard my mind from suggestions of lack and scarcity. Hallelujah. I will guard my mind from the influence of contrary teachings and worldliness. I will guard my mind from informations that seems to wake up. Wake up. Swell up. Affections in the natural. I'll keep it under control. And how will I do it? By the word of God always where? In my mind. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We'll go take one more service. Sunday, go conclude this subject. I've been blessed this morning. I've been blessed this morning. Just be on your feet. I'm praying the Holy Ghost. Pray over what you have asked. It affects you. Pray in the Spirit.